I too have been feeling sad this week as a result of the election, and while I don't know everyone's political feelings here nor how you're feeling following the election, I can only speak out of my experience and my journey this week. So I have been sad and mourning what's been going on. It is interesting, over the last few weeks and months, I've been feeling particularly open and expansive and welcoming, and even we've talked about that in worship, about being connected to all people and being really open and a community that just really loves to care for people. But in response to the election, I just felt myself kind of closing in and feeling withdrawn and shutting down, and there was a sense that I'll be okay. Just me. I'll be okay. and pulling in to just me in that. Even a sense in which you and I will be okay. That I could broaden and include whoever I'm talking to. That the two of us will be okay. We can do this. You and I, we can do this. And it's really an individualized sense of protection that shuts out the greater world, that shuts out others that are around me in the struggle. Then about Wednesday night, I really realized that I was shifting to denial and to moving on. Because that's what I do in hard times, is shut down, do what you got to do. What's the task that's in front of me that I must tackle that is mine to do today, what no matter what else is happening? And that I shove away that which troubles me and simply focus on what do I have to do? And I greeted somebody and they said, how are you? And I said, I'm fine. And we went on. And then I realized it was somebody I knew well enough to be able to be honest with, and that we, you know, that I could needed to be more open and honest about that. And I realized that a part of that was that shift of just shutting out other things. And so I have come to this place where I choose to stay open. I choose to open myself to others that are around me, to choose to stay connected to people, not just to withdraw. That's my tension. And it sometimes it even is a really deliberate I am going to stay open and welcome others and welcome conversations, that I choose to stay connected. I choose to stay connected with those that feel disenfranchised. I think I've been most troubled by the stories told, really probably most poignantly, by teachers who talk about students in their classrooms who are afraid that they'll be deported, or afraid that their parents will be deported. And what does that look like? And to recognize that there is real fear, whether it happens or not, is not really the point. There is fear that is real, intangible. And that I choose to stand with those that feel disenfranchised, that are troubled. I choose to have their back. I choose to be with them in that. I choose to wear a safety pin as a message that I care about their vulnerability, that I care that they feel alone and isolated and unsafe. And I choose to say, with me, you're safe. I stand with you. I choose to have conversations, even hard ones. Sometimes we don't want to have the hard conversations. We shy away from them. We're drawn to people that have the same political leanings, where it's easy to talk about things because we always agree. And I was challenged by a woman this week who said she, at the grocery store, just walked up to people. She's a white woman. She said, you know, this is on us. I'm a white woman, and what are we going to do about this? And how are we going to engage in our community? And I thought, wow, she's gutsy. And I was challenged that I need to have conversations, even initiate them, even when they're hard. And I choose to embrace those who disagree with me, to love everyone. We read in Scripture that Jesus said, love your enemies. I'm pretty sure he also meant love those that disagree with you. I choose to stay in love. I choose not to live in fear. I choose fear not. It made more buttons. So if you all need some more buttons, they're out front. For those that haven't journeyed with us for the last 11 months, 12 months now, last year when we were talking about the Christmas story and all of the times that the angel said, fear not. First to Zechariah, fear not. And then tells him he'll have a son. To Mary, fear not. And then tells her that she will give birth to the baby Jesus. And then to Joseph, fear not, take Mary as your wife. And then to the shepherds, fear not, for today a Savior is born. And that we choose not to live afraid. And then the leading came to make buttons. I've made about 650 buttons now. They've gone clear across the United States, and my guess is they've gone around the world. Well, I know they have, because I sent some to Guatemala, to Cuba. There were two, a woman from Guatemala and a woman from Cuba that were visiting, and I made them in Spanish and sent them away to them. So we choose not to live afraid. We choose to stand with God. In difficult times, I remember that we begin to find way forward by telling the truth. We tell the truth of our situation and how I'm doing in that situation. What's going on? What's real? What's tangible for me? But we also tell the truth about God. What do we know to be true about God? And we remember that Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work together for good. We sometimes struggle for that because we wonder sometimes how good can come out of some situations. And is that really true, that all things can work together for good? And I was reminded of the story of Joseph. Horrible stuff happened to him. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. You can't get much worse than that, being sold into slavery by your brothers. And then, while some good things happened, people lied about him and he got thrown in jail. And, you know, it just kind of kept going from bad and worse, and there'd be hope, and then it would be dashed. It would be worse than it was before. But God used Joseph and used the situation that Joseph found himself in to bring love, redemption, and reconciliation, not just for Joseph, but for the Israelites. And that they were saved from the terrible famine that was happening in Israel at the time. And they went to Egypt, where Joseph had been sold into slavery, and they were able to live in Egypt. Later, God redeemed them from Egypt when that turned sour. But in that moment, it was their salvation to be with Joseph there. And so God worked through that very difficult and painful situation, which is not minimized. And yet God brought healing and reconciliation, because that's what God does. God is constantly at work to redeem even the worst of all situations. It's bad theology to think that God causes bad situations in order that God can teach us a lesson, or in order that whatever, you can fill in the blank. That's bad theology. But God is at work in every situation, even the most painful, to bring redemption, to bring reconciliation, to bring new beginnings. We've been invited to join that work of redemption. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says that God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. It is our work on this earth to go forth as reconcilers, to go forth as people of hope, to go forth as people of prayer and of life, of reconnection, of opening our arms, of welcoming the other, of saying, yes, we will stand together. We don't know what will unfold, but we do know that we will be led. And we do know that we can be faithful in this as in all situations. It will be more costly, I believe. It will be more difficult for us. And yet we can be faithful, and we will be faithful. And together, we stand together. It is good that we have one another to be faithful in the little things and in the bigger things. To be faithful to walk alongside Dove in her larger challenge with the Electoral College and her place in this role of government. But it will also be ours to be faithful step by step, day by day with each other. To choose to open our arms and to welcome one another. Choose to have conversations. Choose to be in relationship with each other. Choose to make the difficult choices. I was struck this week by a Quaker Speak video. Quaker Speak is a arm of Unprogrammed Friends through Friends General Conference, and they put out a video once a week. And I was particularly struck by the video that they put out this week, and I've asked Mark to play that for us again, and then I'm going to make one last comment before we enter into open worship.
Friends have always had this sense that the kingdom of God can be realized here on earth. And so for early friends, sometimes that vision was taken from Isaiah with the image of the lion and the lamb living side by side without doing damage to the other. The sense that we can all share this earth together if we treat each other with respect.
The systems that we create as people, you know, the systems of government, the systems of power, the way that we distribute resources, are all inhabited by people. And at its most powerful, this prophetic work is about relationships.
Friends have always been very active in addressing our government and its rule. They have started out in the earliest days having to try and change laws that were affecting them directly. As time went by, a century later, they were among the most active lobbyists to end slavery, active in women's suffrage, in temperance movements, and such, many, 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 many places where they were lobbying.
There's a story in the book of Acts that I really love, where, you know, these two traveling ministers, Paul and Silas, are in this jail.
Paul, in his travels, had been thrown in jail. And in the middle of the night, there was an earthquake or something that broke open his jail cell.
And everybody's chains come off. So they're sitting in this broken prison.
And he could have easily walked away and never been seen again and never had to deal with the consequences.
And the jailer comes in and he says, he starts to kill himself because he's afraid. He knows he's going to get executed because his prisoners have escaped. And Paul and Silas call out and say, "Don't harm yourself. We are all still here."
He stayed and faced his jailers and said, "No, you guys are doing it wrong. You can't be imprisoning me. You're taking away my rights as a Roman citizen."
So that image is really important to me in terms of understanding what it means for Quakers to be engaged in prophetic work. That we can touch that experience of everybody's chains coming off. And then we stand and we wait in the broken prison and we bring that message to others and invite others to live in that reality as well.
And friends were known for doing things like singing in jail. They were there with joy knowing that they were being obedient to God. They apparently even convinced some of their jailers to become Quakers, which is something I've always loved.
To live in that life and power, as Quakers have said, that takes away the occasion for war. It's not that we're setting out to destroy war. It's that we're turning our eyes and turning our hearts in the direction of our lives into the channel of love, and knowing that it's that power that arises, that, you know, the power that holds the planets in place that we're responding to. So, you know, we're a small group. We're politically insignificant in so many ways, but it's not our power that we're bringing to these conversations. We're being as faithful as we can be to the truth that's being revealed to us. And we're trusting that if we follow that through, that that will speak in others as well. You know, that same power that we're encountering is also at work in every heart.
I was particularly struck by the words that Noah said towards the end of the video after he told the story about the jail. He said, "Understanding what it means for Quakers to be engaged in prophetic work, that we can touch that experience of everybody's chains coming off, and then we stand and we wait in the broken prison, and we bring that message to others and invite others to live in that reality as well." I'm challenged that we must stand in this broken world. And we stay present in our broken world and bring this message of hope. Bring the message that God is present with us. And this message of love. And in that, we find our leadings. We find our next step as we stay present to each other. Let us listen as we wait in open worship. Listen to God who is present and speaking directly to us today.